hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into WGNS, a special morning. We're going to have a political forum this morning, and we do these on a regular basis, have done for 77 years now, because we feel it's so important for you to know about the people that you're voting for. And we try to do it in a different way. We try to be more relaxed, more casual, make it a conversation. And we take questions from you, the listeners. We will not take phone calls where you talk, but we will take text messages. We do ask that you write the question so that it applies to both of our visitors this morning. Don't make it where it is strictly to find out or embarrass one person. It's an open question to both people. If it's not written that way, we won't use it. So be sure that you do write it that way. This morning, we are focusing on the Republican primary, the State House of Representatives, District 13. District 13. And we have with us this morning the incumbent, Robert Stevens. Robert, good morning to you. Good to have you with us today. How are things going with you?
I think it's going very well. I'm excited to be here, and I appreciate WGNS hosting this forum so the listeners can understand better about what the candidates stand for and what we want to do.
Well, thank you again. And with you also is Jamie Averwater, and this is your first time to run in this particular race, but you are currently on the Murfreesboro City Council.
That's right, Bart. Thanks for having me again.
Good to have you with us, both of you with us. Why don't we just start out by both of you having 2 minutes to tell us a little about yourself, what you want other people to start with. And we'll start with Robert because he's the incumbent. And then when we do the closing, we'll start with Jamie. That way, each of you gets an opportunity to be first. Robert, tell us about yourself.
Well, again, I'm Robert Stevens. I was elected to represent District 13 in the State House in 2022 when the district was first created, and it has been an honor to do so. District 13 is on the western part of Rutherford County. It's hard to figure out when you're looking at a map where you might actually live when you're looking at the districts, but it's got a good chunk of Laverne in there, a little part of Smyrna, western part of Murfreesboro and the Blackman area especially. Almaville, Rockville, and Eagleville are all in there. So hopefully that helps people understand where they might be if they're in the district or not. But I'm running for re-election this year for a second term in the Republican primary. Of all the candidates running for this seat, I believe that I'm the most qualified and also the most conservative. I've had perfect attendance for the past 2 years in the State House. I've served on a local government committee, on the Education Administration Committee, and then also on Civil Justice Committee. There are 11 other ones as well, but those were the three that I got to serve on. Prior to election in the State House, I served 3 terms on the Rutherford County Commission representing parts of Smyrna and Laverne. I served on most of the standing committees for the County Commission and was also one of the Commission's representatives on the Audit Committee. So I have a very good understanding of how local governments work from being there. I had perfect attendance of the full commission meetings for 12 years and I only missed a handful of committee meetings. I take this job very seriously. I prioritize going to the state meetings and when I was on the county commission, the county meetings before I planned any other activities. I've been a small business owner for about 15 years. I've got a law office in Smyrna where I focus on probate, estate planning, and then some uncontested matters such as divorce. I also have 2 other small businesses, a rental business and a travel business that I do on the side. So I have a very entrepreneurial spirit, and I do enjoy business and commerce. I'm the past president of the Smyrna Rotary Club, of which I've been a member for about 14 years. I love the Rotary Club and all the great things that it does in our community. I served on the Motlow College Foundation Board of Trustees for 8 years and helped them with development and growing their scholarship fund and so forth. And then I'm also a member of several other organizations in the community as well.
That was Robert Stevens. Thank you very much. Let's turn over and say good morning to Jamie Averwater. and give you 2 minutes also.
Good morning, Bart and WGNS listeners. My name's Jamie Averwater. I am running for State House because I believe we need someone representing District 13 who will be accessible, who will listen to our community members, and who will work to address the problems we face every day. That is why Republican elected officials across the county have endorsed me. I'm originally from Eagleville. I attended Eagleville and Rockville schools, and I currently live in the Blackman area. And like Mr. Stevens said, the district is very long and very narrow, and I'm proud to live in Murfreesboro and represent the people well. I currently serve on the Murfreesboro City Council. I have one of the best attendance records among my colleagues, and I have served on the Murfreesboro Planning Commission for a few years now, where I have advocated for smart growth here in our city. Public safety has been a top priority of mine. I will continue to fight for our firefighters and our law enforcement officers across the state if elected to the State House. Also on City Council, I have rejected any increase in property taxes and instead voted to tax only our new growth through impact fees, which I think is very important as the people of District 13 are the ones experiencing that growth, and we want that growth to pay for itself. I've been an effective leader in my 2 years on the City Council, and I will fight for those conservative economic principles and family values once in the state legislature. Prior to entering politics, Bart, I attended MTSU, where I studied economics, and then I went on to Belmont University College of Law. I own a small business here in Rutherford County. I oversee the day-to-day operations of over 15 employees, and I know firsthand how to make payroll and how big government can negatively affect the middle class. That's something I'm very passionate about. I believe that my experience as a business owner and as a local elected leader here in Murfreesboro has well equipped me to run for this position, and I'm honored for the opportunity God has given me to serve on the City Council, and I look forward to seeing where this journey takes me. I'm married to a wonderful man named Alan Brown, and he has a son named Bryson Brown, and I love being a stepmom to a 13-year-old boy, so that keeps me busy when I'm not working my job or on City Council.
Thank you very much. That was Jamie Averwater. And now we will go into the portion where listeners will submit questions. And the way this works, you have the opportunity to answer the question, or if you choose not to answer the question, you just remain silent. Pretty simple. Don't want to put any pressure on anybody.
That sounds good.
And whoever wants to answer it first, just jump in. Maybe there's something you're more passionate about than others. So if you hear a question that you really want to jump in on, feel free to do that.
I might need a buzzer, Bart.
Okay. wish we had one. We don't have one. Our first question, do you support the voucher program as supported by Governor Lee? And do you support public schools and public school education? Either one.
I do not support Governor Lee's proposal for the voucher program, and let me tell you why. I think school choice is important, and I think parents should have a say in their child's education. They should have the first say in their child's education. However, the bill as proposed robs the public school system of money every time a student chooses to leave for a private school or a charter school. Public schools are crucial to our community. 96% of our students in Rutherford County attend public schools. We need to fully fund our public schools, fully pay our teachers the pay they deserve, and make sure that our students are being educated so that they can lead us in the future.
I do support Governor Lee's voucher program, and the way the question was presented made it sound like you're either for the school choice or you're for the public school system, and this is not a mutually exclusive concept. You can be for both. We have great public schools here in Rutherford County. Some places around the state are not as fortunate as we are with the schools that we have. I did support the House version of the bill. It included a $140 million for ESFs, which is Education Freedom Scholarships, and also it included a $75 per student increase in the TISA funding, which could be used for school construction costs. It did a whole host of other things, like reducing red tape for teacher licensing and evaluations, reduced testing, freed up hundreds of hours of classroom time. So yes, I do support school choice. I believe that parents should be the ones making the decisions about where their kids go to school. And since the money follows the student now with a TISA funding formula, if the student's not actually at the school, then the school won't be responsible for that student anymore. So the loss of funding there should not be too much of an issue for them. And in Rutherford County, where our schools are busting at the seams, taking the students from there, if they can go to a charter school or private school, then that frees up the construction capital costs that we don't have to pay for anymore as taxpayers. So I think it's a great program overall, and I will support it again if it comes back up.
I think the key word there is loss of funding, Bart. And I think it's important to note that simple economics tells us that it costs the same to keep the lights on at Rockvale High School if there's one student or if there's 1,000 students. And by taking $8,000 for every student that leaves the public school system and goes to the charter schools, it is not keeping the lights on in our high schools. And we can remove all the red tape we want from the teachers, but if we're not paying them the salary that they deserve, we're not going to have any teachers. So I support vouchers and school choice, but I cannot support the theft of public money from our public schools when 96% of our students attend public schools.
Here's another question. What is your position on reproductive rights?
I think that's a great question. I believe that, as a woman, I will proudly say that I believe that life starts at conception. I believe that every life matters. I think it's important to also note that the life of the mother matters, and there are instances where a mother has to make a near impossible decision, and that is a decision that should be made with her physician and her family, and I do not think the government should interfere in those scenarios, but I believe life begins at conception. As a woman who leads a family, and many of my friends have had fertility issues and have created life and brought these beautiful humans into the world, I think we need to protect babies and humans at all stages of life.
Well, I am very pro-life, and I'm not exactly sure what the question was looking for there, but it's a very wide open topic. But I've always been pro-life, even back in high school. I helped campaign for conservative pro-life candidates here in Rutherford County. Some of them got elected, and over time more of them got elected, and our state was able to implement pro-life policies. When I was in college, I would go to the state capitol and help promote legislation that was pro-life. I was very active with the 2014 Vote Yes on One statewide campaign to enshrine the right to life in our state constitution, and was proud to vote for that. 2 years ago when I was running, part of my campaign was that we need to overturn Roe versus Wade, and right in the middle of the campaign did that actually happen, which was very coincidental and amazing. I've supported legislation to prohibit the use of taxpayer funds to send people out of state for abortions. I've supported legislation that would criminalize taking minors out of state without parental consent to have abortions. But pro-life is much more than just being against abortion. We've also got to find loving homes for these children as quickly as possible. And so I've sponsored legislation to reduce the cost of adoption by eliminating taxes on that, and also supported and advised individuals that have worked on pro-life legislation to streamline the adoption process. So as for reproductive rights, I'm not exactly sure what they're looking for, but I believe that the life of the child matters. Every life has purpose, and I want to defend that as much as we can.
If you just tuned in, we're broadcasting this morning a Republican primary State House of Representatives forum for District 13. And our guests are Robert Stevens, the incumbent, and Jamie Averwater. They are opposing each other in the Republican primary. These are your questions, and these are important because you are the voters, and these are things that you want to know about. The next question. Do you believe, based on the recent allegations contained in the whistleblower's complaint about Robert Mitchell and the property assessor's office, that the TBI should investigate, like they did against Mayor Ketron?
I believe that that is one of the key parts of the TBI's job in our local government. The TBI investigating an allegation or an issue in our local government allows for an outsider's perspective. It allows for a lack of biasm there. And so I support any investigation that the TBI wants to bring into Rutherford County to reduce and eliminate corruption. Absolutely.
I'm not familiar with the allegations, and I'm not sure what's in there, but if there is any kind of impropriety, then certainly we would want to know about it and have it investigated and addressed. But without having read the complaint and knowing all of the details, I just don't feel it's appropriate for me to make a comment about that.
The next question is, some states have turned against the law enforcement who protect them. They would like to know if you support local law enforcement.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I support law enforcement on city council. I have worked tirelessly to fund our law enforcement and our firefighters each budget year. I think it's important at the state level that we enact strict sentencing guidelines and we also enforce them to maintain law and order in Tennessee. I don't know if you saw, Bart, but earlier this week, a car of four teenagers was shot at in Normandy, just south, not far from here. Four teenagers were driving down the road and it appears to be an incident of road rage. And a teenage girl was shot in the head. And I understand that she is expected to survive, but that is a traumatizing experience nonetheless. And I think we need to be sure that we are funding our police so that we can catch these people and that the judicial system will sentence them under the law and that we will maintain law and order in Tennessee. I think that is very important to keeping us safe.
Our next question.
I didn't know if you were going to ask me something different or what.
No, everybody has the same question. If you choose to answer it, that's fine.
I do support our local law enforcement officers and our state ones also. This past couple of years, when I've been in the state house, we've increased the pay for our state positions. We've also added many new ones to the TBI and to the state highway patrol. We passed the Back the Blue Act this year, but makes it a felony to assault a law enforcement officer. Previously, that was a misdemeanor, and now that's a felony. This is getting out of control where people have a lack of respect for authority, and we've got to do everything we can to protect our officers and make sure they have the tools that they need to fight back against all the crime that's coming in. A lot of it's coming across the southern border with gangs, and we need to be sure that we're backing them and supporting them in their efforts to fight the crime.
Okay, let's go over the ground rules once again because people may have just tuned in and they don't know them. We mentioned them at the beginning. When we read the question, these are questions sent by text to us. When we read the question, either one of you can go first. Just whoever jumps in there first. Usually that shows they're passionate for whatever that issue is. And also, if you choose not to answer it, it's just something you don't want to get into. Just be silent. So if you're silent, I will assume that you didn't want to answer it, and we'll move on to the next question. That next question is, what do you feel is the most pressing issue that District 13 is facing, and what are your plans to address those problems?
Traffic. That is the most pressing issue that we are facing in District 13. I live in the Blackman area. I'm from Eagleville, Rockvale area, and Highway 99 has been a stressor point for the last 20 years for the people of District 13. I have been instrumental in funding over $70 million on the city council to improve our city roads. Unfortunately, many of our roads in this area, specifically District 13, that need improvement are state roads. So we need TDOT and the state to pitch in and help us repair these roads. We need someone in District 13 who will advocate for repair and funding of these roads. My opponent has failed to garner any financial support for improvement, expansion, and maintenance of these roads, which is a crucial part of a state representative's job. So I believe that me living in this dead center of District 13 and driving all over the district every single day is important to know which roads need the work, and I promise to advocate for that funding for those roads to alleviate the traffic and improve our infrastructure in District 13.
Well, I believe that illegal immigration is the number one issue out there that we're facing. It's absolutely out of control. The federal government has failed our whole country by not securing that border. And so as a state, we're left to fight back however we can. And so this is costing us hundreds of millions of dollars for the failure of the federal government to do its job and close the border up there. And so what we have now is we have illegals in our school system that are taking up seats that our taxpayers should be using. We have illegals that are getting health care for free because they don't have insurance. They're driving cars and they don't have auto insurance. And so the whole system is just out of whack because of its illegal immigration. So next year I plan to sponsor and support legislation like Texas and Georgia passed that would make being in the state of Tennessee without proper paperwork a crime, a state crime, and that could be prosecuted at the state level. We've got to do everything that we can at the state level to repel illegal immigration, and I'm committed to do that, and we'll do that again if we get elected.
Right now on WGNS, you're hearing a political forum from the Republican primary race that's about to begin dealing with the State House of Representatives, District 13. There are two candidates running in the Republican primary. They're both with us this morning. Incumbent Robert Stevens and Jamie Averwater. The next question. What do you think about bicycle riders needing to get a bicycle license and tags, just like a car or a motorcycle does, in order for them to use the streets?
Well, that seems like a little bit of government overreach to me. I would not be in favor of that.
I would not be in favor of that. Anytime the government wants to add another license to their repertoire makes me very nervous.
All right, thank you. The next one, should the House terms be 4 years like they are for the state Senate? House of Representative members now serve 2-year terms. And also, what are your thoughts on term limits?
Well, there's only a handful of states that have 4-year terms for House members. I believe that they should stay 2 years because it forces you to stay engaged with people and stay out there in the community and talk to folks. I have mixed feelings about term limits. Some states have put that in their state constitutions to limit you to 12 years of service in the General Assembly or 6 years, you know, here or there or whatnot. And I don't know that I have strong feelings either way about the term limits, but I do believe that the term itself should be 2 years so that people are forced to stay connected with the community and talk to people. It just helps keep us focused.
I support term limits, Bart, because I believe that while institutional knowledge is important in government, I also believe that if you are in service too long, you will become ineffective. And I think that if you've become ineffective and disengaged from your voters, then you are no longer representing the people of your district. So I am for term limits, personally.
This is another question from a listener. As an elected official in the past 2 years, in your election position, actually, this is written in a strange way, and it's mainly posted toward you, so we will move on to the next question. We ask you, don't write this toward any one person. Do you feel that impact fees would place the expense of growth, like building schools, hiring police, fire, etc., making the roads better, should they be used to perhaps balance who's paying for the needed expansion? It would be the new people moving into the area. So what are your thoughts on impact fees?
Absolutely. I believe growth should pay for growth. And on the city council, I voted for an impact fee that would allow the growth to contribute to our infrastructure, our school systems, and our public safety. Unfortunately, the state is prohibiting the county the right. The state is not allowing the county to pass impact fees that we desperately need here in Rutherford County, and especially in District 13. So I do support impact fees. I think they should be reasonable, and I think they should be directly related to the specific impact that the growth is causing. So in the city of Murfreesboro, for example, the money that we charge as an impact fee to new development goes to public safety, goes to schools, and goes to infrastructure. And those are the three areas that are impacted the most by growth. So yes, I do support impact fees, and I support a county and local government's right to enact their own impact fees.
At the state this year, impact fees were a discussion, and there's about a 1 in a million chance that an impact fee is actually going to be passed at the state level because all the other communities have different views on that than we do. However, we were able to work with local stakeholders in the building development community, realtors, and many others, and come up with a compromise that would allow Rutherford County to increase its adequate facilities tax that it currently charges on new development, residential development only right now, $1 a square foot to $150 a square foot, and also to charge that on commercial development. And this will bring in millions and millions of new dollars for them each year. The county's issues are not just based on growth. You've also got higher interest rates. You've got inflation that's driving up the cost of all of their operating expenses as well as the capital expenses. And again, you also got illegal immigration. So putting all of the blame on growth to solve all of these issues is not a viable solution, and it's not going to work. If they had an impact fee, they would still have issues with their operating costs. So yes, it will help, but anyone who tells you that an impact fee is going to solve the problem is misguided.
I think an impact fee does solve the problem because the growth is causing an impact on the infrastructure, the public safety, and the schools. And I think it's important to note that the local government should have the authority to enact their own impact fees. The state does not need to be telling Rutherford County or Williamson County or the city of Murfreesboro if they can enact an impact fee. And that is where I stand on that part.
The next question deals with, do you support gun reform and red flag laws?
No.
Okay, gun reform and red flag law.
Well, I am a licensed handgun carrier. I very much appreciate my right and respect everyone's right to protect themselves. I believe that guns should be allowed at the discretion of the business owner. I do believe that. But I do not support red flag laws. No, I do not, because I think there leaves too much room for error and too much room for misinterpretation. And I believe that everyone has a constitutional right to carry a gun.
Another question is, how do you plan to support and advocate for the growing minority population in District 13?
Well, a great way for that is through the school choice. If they have more opportunity to go to different schools, I believe that will be a great thing for all of the minority communities. Charter schools are great. Private schools are great. They might even want to do homeschool. I believe that shopping local and promoting local tourism is great for these businesses, and we've done a great job of growing our tourist base and bringing people to our community to shop at these places. Our chamber does a great job of highlighting all these businesses, so I'm very open to ideas on that, and we'll certainly take those to heart.
Drug use is illegal in those under age 21. Drug and alcohol use is rampant in schools and universities. What would you do to reduce this problem?
We need to start with harsh sentencing guidelines, Bart. We need to enforce our laws against drugs, especially the use of fentanyl in the state of Tennessee, and we also need to enforce our laws against underage drinking. I think that is where it starts. That is our number one key to reducing the use of it. And we need to convict anyone who brings fentanyl into the state of Tennessee. And if you sell fentanyl to a person and it results in that person's death, that is murder. Bart, that is how I feel. That is murder.
The next question is, do you support teaching and celebrating sexuality outside of a truly heterosexual and monogamous marriage? Our public schools are appearing to support LGBTQ. Do you feel that that should be stopped?
I don't believe that belongs in the school curriculum, but that should be the parents' decision on how that issue is addressed. And so anything we can do to keep that type of teaching out of the school system would be supported by me.
I think the same goes for the school system and the public libraries. Here in Murfreesboro, we had an incident last year where there were some very inappropriate books found in our public library, and some people said that we were banning books, but I think the truth is we were protecting children. That does not belong in the school curriculum. It does not belong in our public libraries, especially within the reach of children.
Rutherford County is rich in history. What are your thoughts on changing history or sweeping things under the rugs?
Well, I don't believe we need to do that. We have a history that we sometimes can be proud of. Maybe sometimes there's things that we should have done differently, but if we don't remember the history, then we won't remember how we should act going forward. So I'm not exactly sure what the questioner is trying to get at there with the question, but I believe that we need to preserve our history. It's very important for people to understand how we got to where we are and make sure that we're doing the best we can as we go forward and learning from any mistakes that might have been made in the past.
I think we can also learn from our successes. We can't change history, but we can really learn, and that is the key to a successful future. We need to be learning about everything we've done, our failures, our mistakes, our successes, and I think we've done a really good job of that at the local level, and I will work to do that at the state level as well.
What are your thoughts on guiding state funding to help fund a forensic center? Do you think we need one?
I absolutely do think that we need to have another forensic center in the area. The main one that the counties in Middle Tennessee use is in Nashville, which is actually a private business. And I think they have like 50, 55 different counties that use them. It takes months to get autopsies back. I know the county commission was looking at doing that, and I'm not sure where that is in the process or if it even made it out of one of their committees. But there is a need for that. There was an effort to get some of the federal COVID money to help as a grant, and that did not get approved. But yes, it is something that we need to look at so that we can help these people get answers quicker when they have a death of a loved one.
It's hard for me to advocate for something, for the taxpayer money to be spent on something that is not immediately necessary. We need help with our roads and with our public schools and our infrastructure in general. And I can't advocate for spending money on a forensic center when there are currently alternative places to receive the results and the benefits of those forensic centers. without having to spend millions and millions of taxpayer money in the next few years. So I do not currently support a forensic center until we address these other issues like public safety, our schools, and our infrastructure.
One of the initial comments in this broadcast was that one of your concerns was traffic, heavy traffic in the area. This person's wanting to know, would you support public transportation? Do we need more public transportation?
Well, with the pie in the sky, you could have that, but until Nashville has a good system where you could get around, if we had a tram or a express bus lane or whatever that takes you downtown to Nashville to a hub somewhere, if you don't have a way to get from there to where you're going, then it's not going to do any good. So I'm not in favor of any kind of mass transit at the moment, because there's just no way to get you around downtown Nashville.
And in the city of Murfreesboro, we have a great bus system, and the city has spent money in recent years to improve our bus routes and our infrastructure, and we're building a new transit station over off of New Salem Highway. But I think the issue is we still aren't seeing the people use it that need to be using it for us to justify the taxpayer money being spent on it.
This next one deals with Tennessee's Hospital Certificate of Need laws. Should that be rescinded? They're saying that Vanderbilt, Ascension, and HCA all want to build in Murfreesboro. Why limit competition?
We should not limit competition in healthcare. I think perfect competition in economics drives down the cost of services, and it actually improves our customer service and business. And so if you look at our local hospital here, Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford is a fantastic place to receive medical care, and we are honored that they are in our community. But unfortunately, they alone cannot service the people of Rutherford County who need emergency medical attention. And not just that, but people from our surrounding counties will also come to Rutherford County to receive care. So if we have an emergency room here in Murfreesboro that only has X number of beds, and 30 to 40% of those are filled with people from outlying counties who needed emergency medical care, the people of Murfreesboro don't have anyone to receive that medical care. Unfortunately, just yesterday, Councilman Sean Wright's wife was in a horrible single car accident, and it was better for her to go to Vanderbilt to receive immediate care because the St. Thomas Rutherford sometimes has a longer wait than the hospitals in Nashville. And Vanderbilt attempted to come here a few years ago, and they were not allowed to because they could not get that certificate of need. So I support overhauling that entire program and allowing hospitals to open here to serve our citizens.
We did have a significant bill that was passed this year that streamlines the certificate of need process and phases out some of that over the next few years. So I do believe you're going to see some major improvements with that type of issue coming very soon.
We have a question now dealing with, there's so much emphasis on bringing electric automobiles into the area, and yet we have a glut of gas. Barrels of gasoline are at an all-time low. And should we think about creating more charging stations throughout the area?
That's something we faced at the city. We will never, at the city at least, as long as I'm involved, we will not mandate a business to install electric charging stations. But I think it's at the discretion of the business owner. You know, we're seeing Buc-ee's come in, many other gas stations, service stations, restaurants. They want to install electric charging stations. And I think that is fantastic. I do not think the government should force a business to install and pay for electric charging stations.
I don't think the government should tell us what kind of car to drive either. I don't think that they should be pushing the car companies to do electric only going forward. California has blackouts where if your power's out, you can't charge your vehicle and you're stuck at home. So what we really need to be doing, especially at the national level, is finding ways to drill for natural gas and oil here in our country and become energy independent. And we just don't need the government telling us you have to drive this type of vehicle.
With the emphasis on making our airports better, our public airports in Murfreesboro and Smyrna better because they bring in business people who are wanting to invest in the community, do you think we're doing a good enough job there, or should that be improved also?
Well, there's always room for improvements, but every year of a Smyrna airport, it seems like they get grant funding for this or that. They're making improvements to their runway. Right now, as we speak, that's under construction. The Murfreesboro airport is great. I think the state's done a good job of supporting them, and if they have needs, then they're certainly free to ask, and we'll advocate for their needs.
Very good. Our number again to text questions, 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. This one says, please ask the candidates what they will do to fix the current rules on charter school funding. We've talked a little about this, the fact that Rutherford County took $12 million out of its budget that they already had. They had to write a check for, I think it was $11 million, though, with the new charter schools opening. Will you be working to make those more equal?
Yes, I will. I absolutely will, because, like I said before, Bart, 96% of our students attend public schools. And I think that a parent has the right to choose where to send their child to school, whether that's public school, Montessori school, charter school, private school. We have a lot of great options here in Rutherford County, in District 13 especially. But I do not think those schools should be taking money from the public school system here in Rutherford County.
Charter schools are actually public schools, and so the student funding follows the student. And so we might be able to improve the timing of when the money goes from the Rutherford County schools to a charter school. And I will certainly be committed to looking to how we can address that and make it work more smoothly. But those students are still public school students that get the state funding. So it's not like they're robbing the money and it's just leaving the public school. The charter schools are public schools as well.
Well, the money is leaving the public school, unfortunately, because if we have 1,000 students at Rockville Middle School and High School and 50 go to charter schools, that takes a significant portion of money out of the Rockville budget. And so this is something I've studied very intensely because I wanted to know how it would affect the people of Murfreesboro with our school budget, and I wanted to know how it would affect the people of District 13. So charter schools may still be public schools, but they are still stealing money from the public school system.
Now, you're running, both of you, for the State House of Representatives, District 13, Republican primary. That's a state position. Do you feel that state jobs, state leaders, should work with local government leaders to solve issues like traffic, growth, things of that sort?
Absolutely. I think we have a very, very difficult past of our local governments not working together. The city of Laverne, the city of Smyrna, the city of Murfreesboro, Eagleville, they are all in Rutherford County. Our elected leaders need to be able to come to the table and be effective for the things that will benefit our community. And I think that extends to the state. I think it's important that the people elected to the state legislature are involved in the local community politics as well. During my time on city council, I have received a phone call from one state house member in 2 years. Dr. Brian Terry is the only state house member who has reached out to me in 2 years to talk about the issues affecting the city of Murfreesboro. And I think if our legislators are sent to Nashville and don't think about what they're doing and how it affects the people in Murfreesboro, they are not being effective leaders.
Well, that communication is also a two-way street, because like at the county level, I think only a handful of county commissioners have contacted me about issues, and I'm not sure if it anybody from the Murfreesboro Council has contacted me about issues. I know some people from Laverne have and some from Smyrna, but it's a two-way street, and I do think that everyone needs to push reset and figure out how we can all work together better moving forward.
The final question, if you win at the end of your term in office, what would you like to be known for?
Kindness. I would like to be known for kindness, because I think that is lacking in our political atmosphere, and that is lacking in our community. And while I am very much looking forward to the debate tonight between President Biden and President Trump, I do think it will lack a lot of kindness. I think kindness and effectiveness should go hand in hand, because if you are not seen as a kind person, you will not be effective in local government. And that is what I have learned while on city council. And if elected to the state legislature, you will know me to be a kind and effective leader.
I would have been known as a statesman, somebody that can pass bills, somebody that can get along with my colleagues, somebody that does a good job of studying all the issues and researching the bills before they're voted on, and also somebody that's a good listener. So that's something that they really stressed to us when we first got elected, was you want to be a statesman, not a politician. And so that's something that stood with me, and I want to do the right thing, and I want to be sure that that's how people know me.
We're going to take a small break right now, and then we will be back. And each of our guests this morning will have a few minutes to wrap up and share with you some of the things that they want you to take away from our political forum today. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. I'm always one of those that goes on and off diets. One of the places I love to eat out the most and still be able to do so and maintain a healthy weight is at Demas's. And, you know, at Demas's, one of the things that I started doing because of my own eating habits is we have a low-calorie menu and a low-carb menu. So depending on whatever diet that you like, we have options for you that are available at Demas's. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner 7 days a week at Demas's.
Hi, this is Dave Kivenemi at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street in Murfreesboro. We're across from Indian Hills Golf Course. Come out and see us for all of your music needs. We've got guitars, pianos, amps, drums, PA equipment, rentals, lessons, most anything you can think of in the music genre. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den on South Church. We're across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Please come and see us for all your gardening, home, and farm needs. We have a great selection of clothing, farm items, and also our wonderful gift department. Please come see us for all your gift items. And we also have local honey. And if you're interested in being a beekeeper, we do have supplies for that. We have from hives to suits to whatever you need to take care of those bees. We're located at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
We're loud, we're proud, we're blue. WGNS AM and FM, your home for the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders.
On this morning's broadcast, we're having a political forum where you get to meet the candidates in the Republican primary for the State House of Representatives, District 13. When we began the broadcast, we heard first from Robert Stevens, who is the incumbent. And then we heard from Jamie Averwater. We're going to do that opposite now, and each will have an opportunity to wrap up and tell you a little bit more about themselves and perhaps even ask for your vote. They each will have 5 minutes. We start with Jamie Averwater.
Thanks, Bart. So in the last few months, I have knocked thousands of doors across District 13. I've made 1,500, if not 2,000 phone calls. I have met a lot of people across District 13 on this journey to be your next state representative. And the things I have talked about are public safety, public schools, and public roads. And I have talked about those because that is what is important to our community. I have been an effective leader on the Murfreesboro City Council, and I believe I will continue to be effective in the state legislature. I was born and raised in District 13. I'm proud to be from Eagleville. I would be honored to serve in the state legislature for District 13. I believe that I hold strong conservative economic principles and family values close to my heart. And I believe with the support of my friends and my family and the people of District 13, we can be very effective and get a lot done to support our community. I have fought property tax increase. I have supported impact fees. I am anti-illegal immigration, but I believe that if you want to come here and you want to be a law-abiding citizen and you want to pay taxes and you want to participate in our community, I believe you should be allowed the opportunity to do so, and I will help you fill out that immigration paperwork, but you have to be here legally. If you are here illegally, you will be deported, and I agree that the state of Tennessee needs to do something about illegal immigration if our federal government is continuing to fail us on illegal immigration. I'm honored for this opportunity to serve. I look forward to earning your vote on August 1st, and thank you so much for your questions and for listening. And if you take a moment today, please pray for our men and women in law enforcement and our firefighters and rescue officers all across the state of Tennessee who work every day to keep us safe and maintain law and order. Thank you, Bart.
Thank you. That was Jamie Averwater. Now let's hear from Robert Stevens, the incumbent.
Thank you, Bart, again. Well, like
like I said at the beginning of my opening statement, that I believe I'm the most qualified candidate for this position, and I'm also the most conservative candidate running for this position. I'm absolutely against illegal immigration. The state has done some great things the past 2 years to try to crack down on that the best that we can. We've enhanced sentences for illegals who commit crimes in Tennessee. We've sponsored legislation and passed legislation to enact anti-squatting laws in the state. We've required law enforcement to notify ICE if an illegal gets apprehended, and hopefully once President Trump's back in office, those people will actually be deported. I co-sponsored legislation that would criminalize transporting illegals throughout the state of Tennessee, and unfortunately the bill failed in a committee there. I oppose giving in-state tuition to illegals, and I oppose driver's licenses for illegals. Tennessee has to be in a great position so that when the administration does change, that we can help get these people back to their countries and let them come in the door legally if they want to be part of our great country. I'm very pro-life. Like I said earlier, I have supported legislation that would further enact pro-life policies in Tennessee. I will continue to do that. I'm proud to receive the endorsement of Tennessee Right to Life in this campaign. I'm very tough on crime. I've supported enhancing sentences for violent criminals. I've supported bail reform to keep violent criminals behind bars instead of back out on the streets while they wait for their trials. The only place where they're not going to commit violent crimes is if they're sitting in a jail cell. So we have adopted policies like that at the state level this year. We passed a bill that if someone violates their bond conditions, that the police officers now have the ability to arrest them on the spot for that instead of going back to court and asking the judge to revoke their bond. We mentioned the Back the Blue Act earlier that makes assaulting a law enforcement officer a felony. I was proud to support that bill, and also to pay increases and so forth for our law enforcement officers. Illegal immigration is causing a great deal of the crime in our community, so we've got to do everything that we can to fight that and get it out of our state. One thing I want to look at next year is to do what Wisconsin does. Laverne has a new police chief that came from the state of Wisconsin, and he said there any 17-year-old that gets arrested is treated like an adult. And right now there's a revolving door of juvenile criminals that are 16 and 17-year-olds, gang members, carjacking, all kinds of things. They go to juvenile detention center, they get out in a few hours and go back home with conditions. In Wisconsin, apparently, if you're 17 years old, you get treated like an adult and you stay in jail until your trial. And so I want to look and see if we can do that. I believe that will help curb some of the juvenile crime that's happening, especially in the bigger cities of Nashville and in Memphis. I've been a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, and I will continue to be. I was proud to receive the endorsement of the National Rifle Association yesterday when I was on the county commission. I voted to make Rutherford County a sanctuary county for Second Amendment rights, and I've also voted in favor of numerous pieces of legislation this year that would defend and protect our Second Amendment rights in the state of Tennessee. On education, I've been very involved with school safety. That's one of the most important issues to me. If our schools aren't safe, then we're definitely not doing something right. So we've passed all kinds of legislation the past few years, especially after the Covenant shooting, to find out how we can further harden these schools and keep bad actors out of the door. We've set up grant funds so that schools can apply. And oh, is that 5 minutes already?
You have about 10 seconds. Okay, I didn't mean for you to stop immediately.
Oh, well, you told me the tea. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and I look forward to getting your vote in the August 1st primary.
Okay. Didn't mean to rush you in the middle. I just wanted to let you know that we were getting close on that. Thank you both for joining us. Incumbent Robert Stevens is our guest, along with Jamie Averwater. They are both in the Republican primary for the State House of Representatives, District 13. And they've both been given an opportunity to answer the questions that you sent in and then tell us a little about themselves. We hope this helps you. And if you want to hear this broadcast again, it is in a podcast format. We will have it on our website after the broadcast. It also will be on every major podcast site throughout the world. So you can check all of those, and it's going to be there as well. Thank you for joining us. Have a super rest of the day. Thank you most of all for Robert Stevens and Jamie Averwater both sharing their thoughts and both giving their time to make our entire country even better, because it does take a lot of effort to go out and serve. We thank you for that. Stay with us. Much more to come right here on your good neighbor station, WGNS Murfreesboro. Next week, we have more political forums lined up for you. Stay tuned, and you'll learn more about the candidates who are running to make this a better community.